Well, thank you, Pastor. It's a privilege to be here, and Fairhaven, of course, has been a blessing to our church. Down to the years, we've had a lot of groups and a lot of missionaries. Boy, the music today, just tremendous. What a blessing that is. Our church supports four graduates of Fairhaven right now. The Olsons, of course, we supported them for a number of years. The Riches in Zambia. Mike Smith, we supported him a long time. He's going to be with us in February. He called me just a couple weeks ago, lined up a meeting when he was going to be there. And then the Whitakers, we support them. And so always been a blessing. Dr. Volkland's been at our church and preached three times on a Sunday night and always been a blessing to us. And your church, of course, has been a blessing all around the country, but even to our church as well in Nebraska. If you take your Bibles tonight, would you go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I'd like to go to a passage that's been a blessing to me, because it speaks to me each time I see it and read it. 1 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 9, because verse 8 talks about exercise. Pastor Dameron mentioned that this morning, so we'll stay away from that difficulty, you know, the squeezing somebody and stuffing comes out. I was under conviction during that, but I didn't know if it was something you come forward at the invitation for or not around here, so I just made the decision in my seat. I hope that's all right. But anyway, 1 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to read several verses till we get down to the text tonight. You follow along as I read. 1 Timothy chapter 4, we're going to start in verse 9. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Now we come down to the text for this evening, verse 16. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Let's look to the Lord in prayer to begin tonight. Heavenly Father, thank you for the word, and thank you for this church and how you've used it down to the years, Lord, to be a blessing to so many. And Father, we thank you, Lord, we can come to church tonight. The music has been a blessing to us already. Father, I pray that as we look into the word of God, that you'd speak to us. Lord, how we thank you that we have the word of God to look into. It's not our word, but it's your word, Lord. And I pray that you'd use it in our lives tonight. We need your help, Lord, each and every one of us. No matter how long we've served, or no matter how long we've been in the ministry or in the work, Lord, we need your help. So, Father, we come to you as a needy people, Lord, and we pray that you'd take thy word, thy precious word, and use it in our lives tonight. Well, thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to look at 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16 tonight. The Bible says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. I find in these verses four specific warnings that God gives to those who are in the battle, who are warring. Now, we know 1 Timothy is a pastoral epistle. Paul, the saint, the preacher, the godly man, is writing to his young son in the faith, the Bible says, his preacher boy, Timothy. But we understand that while 1 Timothy is a pastoral epistle, it's dealing with the pastor of a church, and so it relates to all of us. And I find in this verse some great lessons for every one of us. Many here have been tonight, have been serving the Lord for many, many years, have a specific ministry, and you've been at it for 10 years and 20 years and 30 years. What a blessing that is. Some are just getting started in ministry. Some of the college students are getting ready to launch out into the ministry. Of course, God's word is designed to meet all of our needs, isn't it? And here's a blessing. Here's a challenge for us. four specific warnings to those that are in the battle. Would you notice the first warning with me? He speaks about our conduct. Notice what it says in verse 16. Take heed unto thyself. The idea of take heed there, be careful, watch out. Sometimes when we're in the ministry, have you ever noticed this tendency? Is there's a tendency, after you've been in the ministry for a while, to start to look at other people all the time. To notice where they fall short. To notice where they need to straighten something else out. But the Bible says what? Take heed unto thyself, doesn't it? Sometimes you can kind of get this mentality. I've coached basketball before, and you know, sometimes you're coaching basketball, all you can do is spot the errors that the refs make, you know. One time a ref said to me, he said, you know, really, he said, if you'd worry more about your team than what I'm doing, you might actually help them out a little bit, you know. There's something to that, isn't there, you know. As I coach in our team, I says, we're like the lowest level of organized basketball, you know. So we can't expect the refs that ref the Final Four to show up, you understand. We got lower level refs. Something about life, isn't it? We just have a tendency in that human nature to start to spot in everybody else what's wrong with them. But it says, take heed unto thyself. Who's Paul talking to? He's talking to a young preacher boy, isn't he? He's saying, watch yourself. I tell you what, there's this tendency to watch others and to just let ourselves make excuses for ourselves and explain things away and justify sin. That first phrase just rebukes me. Take heed unto thyself. You know, after you've been preaching for a while, after you've been pastoring for a while, and there's that tendency to start to ease up, start to take it easy. But the Apostle Paul, under the Holy Spirit, says what? Take heed unto thyself. Think about a couple other verses with me. Titus chapter 2, verse 1, he says, the things that become sound doctrine. In other words, there are certain things that go along with sound doctrine. He's talking about a godly life, isn't he? A godly life goes along with sound doctrine. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13, he says, watch ye. Be careful about yourself. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, the Apostle Paul says to the elders there at Ephesus, he says, take heed unto thyself and to the flock. But he starts out by saying, take heed to yourself. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5, he says, watch thou in all things. God many times throughout the pages of Scripture tells us about the importance of taking heed unto ourselves. The tendency is to only watch others. The tendency is to forget about ourselves, to think we've had it made. We have done this. We have served the Lord here. We've been faithful here. But the Bible says, take heed unto yourself, doesn't it? Take heed unto yourself. Several years ago, there was an athlete in the NBA who into the locker room, he took into the locker room a handgun. Maybe you remember the story. And where he took the handgun into the locker room, it was against the law to do that. And so he was arrested, he was suspended, and this is what they said. He was dropped by the team, and he lost $87,000 a game. I guess his salary is a little higher than ours, huh? But now think about this. Just for one crazy act, he lost his salary. He lost his job for several years. $87,000 a game. Isn't that crazy? The crazy part is that just for one little thing, he would throw away that much money. But let's apply it to us. Let's not worry about the NBA. Let's apply it to us. You know what? I've seen people throw away ministries for a lot less. I've seen people throw away churches for a lot less. We think about this NBA guy, we think, what is he thinking? What's wrong with him? How could you do that? And, you know, you can only play in the NBA for so long. I mean, it doesn't go on forever. How could you do that? How could you be so foolish? And yet maybe the Lord is saying to us, how could we be so foolish? I've seen people just walk away from the work of God. Turn their backs on that which they said they held to, said they believed for decades, and in a moment throw it away. sad, isn't it? We think of this guy in the NBA and we think, well, he's just nuts. But I don't know how we explain so many other situations that we see in our ministry. I think that's what the Apostle Paul was talking to about Timothy. After you start to preach and after you start to see people saved and the work of God going forward, there's going to be that tendency, subtle tendency, to start to forget about yourself. There's going to be that tendency to take heed to everyone else, to watch out for everyone else, to point out where they are wrong, to point out what they haven't done right. But the Bible says, take heed unto thyself. Come back to yourself. You know, we understand about standards and that important, but what we need to understand is to take heed unto how you live. How you live is so important. Your daily walk, your daily life with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the basics, but it never gets old, does it? It's just the importance of living for the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a second warning in this verse. Do you see it with me? First of all, he says to watch out for your conduct. But notice, second of all, he says to watch out for your creed. Notice the verse with me in verse 16. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. He says, watch the way you live, that's your conduct, and watch what you believe, that's your doctrine. Now, we know the word doctrine is teaching, and it's so simple to me. The doctrine that we have comes from where? It comes from the Bible, right? The Bible doesn't change, does it? The Bible hasn't changed. It's not going to change. So consequently, our doctrine shouldn't change. We've never lived in a day and age, I don't think, where so many people are changing their doctrine, though. So many once proud churches have decided to change. So many preachers have decided to change. I don't see where they can get it from. Our doctrine doesn't come from the person next to us or anything. Our doctrine comes from the Word of God. Now, you know, and I know how this happens to people, but I'm just saying I don't think there's any basis in the Word of God for it. We have to be careful about what we believe, about what we hold to. Titus chapter 1 and verse 9 talks about sound doctrine. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 10, the Apostle Paul speaking, he says this, thou hast fully known my doctrine. And of course, the great verse on the inspiration of Scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for what? For doctrine. For doctrine. And I suspect in the days ahead, and I don't have any idea what's going to happen, but I suspect there's going to be more changes in what people teach on their doctrine. They're not anchored to the Bible anymore. They're anchored to experience. They're anchored to their feelings. They're anchored to some situation or some preacher, but we need to be anchored to the Word of God. And the Bible says, take heed to your doctrine. Be careful what you believe. You know what? I grew up going to church in Minnesota is where I grew up. I grew up with a mom and dad that took me to church, a Baptist church, every service. Didn't know what it was like to miss. And you know, there's a blessing in that. And of course, what a tremendous blessing that is. But there's also a danger in that what we believe can get to be kind of old hat. I mean, I've heard it my entire life. And even though Pastor Dameron wants to make me a young man, I'm not a young man anymore. We need to understand that the Word of God doesn't change, does it? It doesn't change for anyone, does it? It won't change for anyone out there, a liberal, a new evangelical, changing the Word of God. You know what? It won't change for us either. Take heed to the doctrine. Take heed what you believe. Take heed to the Word of God. Let's look at another verse, a verse I find very interesting. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians. Would you go there just for a second? Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, it's talking about the local church. I won't take time to read the entire context of this. We'll just jump in and get one verse and come right back. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. Notice what it says now, Ephesians 4, 14. Sometimes the Bible, even though it's written, as we know, thousands of years ago, it almost reads like the newspaper, doesn't it? I mean, it's just so up to date, it's almost uncanny, isn't it? Maybe it was like authored by God, you know? I mean, it's astounding, isn't it? Really. Verse 14, are you there? That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Boy, doesn't that sound like today? By the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now listen, now think about that verse just for a second before we leave it. Wind of doctrine. Doctrine is teaching, the teaching of the Word of God. Shouldn't be any wind there, should there? The idea is it's moving back and forth, isn't it? But do you see how it describes the people that give into that, the wind of doctrine? It says they're children. He's talking about them as being immature in the faith. Boy, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be described that way. I've been saved too long to be described that way. You know that? Too many people have invested in my life for me to be described as a child. But that's someone who is giving themselves into the wind of doctrine. Doctrine. I can just picture, can't you? Doctrine going back and forth, changing. Doctrine doesn't change because the Word of God hasn't changed. Doesn't matter who puts out a book or who doesn't put out a book. Doesn't matter what one group decides and one group doesn't decide. Doesn't matter at all. It can't change. It's the Word of God. It's the truth of God's Word. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1 says, some shall depart from the faith. We certainly are living in those days. There's one more verse I want us to think about. We won't turn there, but in the book of Jude, verse 3, it says this, earnestly contend for the faith. Now, the faith is thought of as the entire revealed Word of God. So the faith, then, the word I want to use for that is a word we're familiar with is orthodoxy, right doctrine, proper doctrine. But notice what it says, earnestly contend for what? The faith, the Word of God. So we have orthodoxy, and then we have militancy. We've got to stand for something. We have to stand for the Word of God. You know, sometimes I think what we think is this. We think we understand that my conduct is how I live. And sometimes we think the doctrine is all in our head. You know, we've got a college here, and you've been taught well, and the teachers in the college teach well, Christian school, in this church, you've always had good teachers. And we think that doctrine is a matter of the head, and we start to think, you know what? I'm too smart to give into those false teachings. Hey, do you know what? A lot of smart people have gone before you. Hey, doctrine is not a matter of the head. It's a matter of the heart. And the problem is we have lulled ourselves into a feeling of security because, well, I'm just too smart to fall for that. No, I don't think that's the point at all. We're not talking about your grade point average now. We're talking about walking with the Lord, living for the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, I've had people, faithful people in my church out there in Nebraska, faithful people that we worked on and brought in and came in, lived for the Lord for 5 or 10 years. It breaks my heart, but then they will start to believe something that's wrong. And what they believe that's wrong will lead them out of the church where they got saved, the church where they got baptized, the church where they grew in the Lord. And not a problem with their head, it's a problem with their heart. Sometimes we, in our circles, we say, well, we're just too smart to fall for that. But a lot of people have fallen before. He says, take heed, back in 1 Timothy chapter 4, take heed unto thyself and then unto the doctrine. Would you take your Bibles and go with me to the book of Acts chapter 2? Acts chapter 2. You know, when you come to Fairhaven, you've got to assume the sermons are going to be long. Amen? Right? Every time I've had somebody from Fairhaven in my pulpit, it was a long sermon. It was good, but it was a long sermon. You understand that? Back home, I said, now listen, you got to pray for me because it's Fairhaven. I got to preach for a while. You know what I mean? It's just the way it is. I heard a guy one time, I grew up going to church all the time, and he said that the length of a person's sermons depends on where they grew up. Now, I don't know if this is necessarily true, but he said, like somebody that grew up going to church all the time, they've sat through so many long services, they just preach short. Like, I'm a 30-minute guy in my pulpit all the time. He says, somebody that got saved and they're like 19 or 20, they want to dump the whole load every time you come to church. I don't know if that's necessarily true, you know, but I've used it every once in a while, you know. But I'm going to preach a little bit longer tonight. But here, notice if you would, in your Bibles, Acts chapter 2. Do you see this? Describing the first church. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. It says, and they, Acts chapter 2, let's read verse 41 as well. Then they that gladly received his word, that's salvation, were baptized. And the same day they were adding on them about 3,000 souls. So we got salvation, baptism, church membership all in the same verse, right? Verse 42 now. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Now, you know what I've always said about that verse? And this isn't original to me, so if you don't like it, I got it from somebody else. But here's what it says. The Bible says that doctrine comes before fellowship. Do you know why? Doctrine is more important than fellowship. Doctrine is what we believe. Doctrine, my friends, is heaven or hell. Hey, listen, I'm in Nebraska. It's the land of the Catholics and the Lutherans. Seriously. In my hometown, if you take the statistics of the Catholic Church and the five Lutheran churches, their membership, their statistics now, is 18,000. Our town is only 25,000. Do you know why they're wrong? Because their doctrine is wrong. They are teaching that salvation comes from infant baptism. Hey, listen, if you believe that doctrine, where are you going to end up? You're going to end up in hell, aren't you? Hey, this is serious stuff, isn't it? This just isn't, well, you were taught that in your church. No, that's not it at all. It's what does the Bible say? But now back to Acts 2:42. Doctrine comes first. Fellowship comes second. The problem today in the contemporary churches is they want fellowship first and doctrine they don't even care about. We've got to be careful of that. I've always said, you go to a church where the preaching is right and the fellowship will be right. We've got to come to it first. But now, keep that thought in mind, Acts 2:42. Now go back with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16, our text verse tonight that we are looking together at. First of all, watch your conduct, then watch your creed. But notice what this verse says, 1 Timothy 4:16. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Our living comes before doctrine. That's interesting. You know what I think that the thing is about that? And I've thought about this a lot. It's so easy to say today, my doctrine isn't changing. At the same time, they're changing how they live. Hey, churches are doing that everywhere. Preachers are doing that everywhere. Now, the way we live should be anchored in the Word of God. Now, I understand times change. I totally understand that. I understand in America our culture is changing. I get that. I understand. I live in the real world too. But what I'm saying is that it's so easy to say I'm not changing because they haven't changed what they say they believe about doctrine, but the way they are living is changing. One day down the road, they'll change their doctrine. You see, we've got to understand something. God calls us to a holy life, to a separated life. This isn't just something that somebody believes or anything like this. This is what the Word of God teaches. It says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. There's a third warning, if you notice with me, in 1 Timothy 4:16. First of all is our conduct. Second of all is our creed. Thirdly is our commitment. Do you see that? Notice with me in the verse, verse 16. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. Continue in both of them. Continue. You know what? It is easy to start doing anything for the Lord. It's hard to finish, isn't it? It's easy to get excited. I love that phrase there in the book of Habakkuk where it says, revive thy work in the midst of the years. Hey, you know what? In the midst of the years, it is difficult. You know that? You've been at it for a long period of time. And there's a tendency to start to say, you know what? I've done my work. It's time for somebody else to step up. But the Lord calls us to continue, to be faithful. Like I said, I grew up in Minnesota, and back in Minnesota's farm country, of course, there was at one time, there's not as many anymore, but at one time there was a lot of country churches. A lot of people lived in the country, and there's a little country church about 10 miles from my hometown. The building is still standing. It was started as a church in 1866, Lincoln Baptist Church. My grandfather lived right next to that, never went to that church. And a young preacher boy came to that church. He was out of a college called Northwestern College in Minneapolis. The president of Northwestern College was W.B. Riley. He was a giant in the first part of the 1900s of the last century. He sent preacher boys literally all over Minnesota. The president of my Bible college used to say that W.B. Riley taught him the way to decide God's will is this. You get on the train. This is a long time ago. 1900s, 1910s, 1920s. You get on the train, and every place the train stops, you get off. If there's a gospel preaching church there, you get back on the train. If there isn't, God just called you, put down roots and build a church. And he said by the time W.B. Riley died, 1940s now, there was a Northwestern graduate every place the train stopped from Minneapolis all the way to the West Coast. You know why? He put something in those guys. And this young preacher boy came out to this church, Lincoln Baptist Church. It's the 1930s. He pastored two churches at the same time. And what he did was my grandfather was out in the barn milking cows at 5 o'clock in the morning. That's normal behavior at that time in southern Minnesota. That preacher boy went out there, young man, and he started to witness to my grandfather while he was milking cows. This is back before they had machines, and so every morning it'd take 3 hours or 4 hours to do the job. And so if someone would come and would help work, he was more than willing. And this preacher boy witnessed to my grandfather. My grandfather eventually got saved in the barn while he was milking cows. He was 57 years of age when my grandfather got saved. He was a lifelong Lutheran up to that point. And yet, there was that preacher boy. He didn't get saved the first time he was out there. He went out there time after time, week after week, over several weeks or several months period. And it wasn't just my grandfather. He led many other men to the Lord. Hey, you know what? Just think about that. Where would I be tonight without that one young pastor that said, I'm going to just stay faithful. You know that? Stay faithful to the work of God. Continue in them. That's true, isn't it? We got to stay faithful. Proverbs 24 and verse 10 says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, what? Thy strength is small, isn't it? There will be some days of adversity, won't there? Serving the Lord or living for him, right? Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 6 says, the just man falleth seven times and does what? Riseth up again, right? He stays faithful to the Lord. Let me ask you this tonight. How much damage has been done to the cause of Christ by those who quit? Now, I'm from Nebraska, and most people don't even know where Nebraska is. We are in the Union, though. We are in the United States of America. The population of Nebraska is 1.8 million in the entire state. Most of them are in Omaha or Lincoln or on my side of the state. But I could take you tonight throughout the entire state of Nebraska and show you places where there used to be an independent Baptist church, where the gospel was preached. Now, these were not necessarily huge churches. You understand some were in smaller towns or smaller areas. I could even take you to places where the building is still standing, but no one is preaching. And a lot of people get the idea to come to Nebraska to start a church and praise the Lord, but we need someone that'll come and start and then stay. And what we need today in the ministry is not only to take heed to ourselves, take heed to the doctrine, but stay faithful. Stay faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. Continue in them. I was out calling one day in our town. This is a long time ago, 10, 11, 12 years ago. I don't remember this incident, but I was out inviting kids to vacation Bible school. And there's this little girl playing outside. And so I started talking to her and I said, well, can I talk to your mom or dad? And so I went up to the door to her mom, and her mom immediately was just like, no way, you know, just absolutely not. That little girl stepped inside, and her mother said to her, she says, you'll never set foot in Leside Liberty Baptist Church. I didn't know that story. About 10 years later, that girl's a senior in high school. She's working a job in Fremont. Some other girl from our church is working a job as well. She eventually invites her to church, and she comes to church. While she's sitting in church the first time, she starts to think, hold it. This is the church my mom said I couldn't go to. She sat there. She came four or five times. She came a long time. And then one Wednesday night, she came different times because of different situations. She came to me. She says, could you explain to me how to be saved? I don't totally understand it. That girl got saved 10 years after her mother said, "You'll never set foot inside that church." Now, I'm not saying this. I'm just saying because our church was faithful. We were still there, still doing the job. And I sometimes ask myself as I drive around my town, how many other girls are there like that girl? You know that? That we have invited that we don't even know anything about them. We didn't pay any attention to it. It was a small little event. But they never forgot it and then eventually came to church. It's just continue in them, isn't it? Stay faithful. Stay faithful. There's a statement I heard a long time ago, somebody said. He said this, very few people have the power of God in their life till the day they die. Now, when I heard that, I was just a young guy. And you know, when you're young, you think, well, that's because those old guys just aren't as sharp as the young guys. You know how it is when you're younger. But you know what? If you start to examine it, think about it in the Bible. Many of the Bible characters had the power of God in their life and then made a fool of themselves later on in life. David, Solomon, I mean, the list just goes on. Samson. And then we go into the modern day world in which we live, and we can think of so many people that were faithful for 40, 50 years. And then in just the last couple years of their life, they did something foolish, something sinful. I think the admonition is for all of us tonight. Regardless of where we are in our life, what age we are, whatever. It says, continue in them. Would you notice with me, lastly, the warning is for the cause. Notice the last part of 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16. It says this, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Now, it's not talking about saving ourselves from hell, but it's talking about the saving of a testimony, isn't it? The saving of a life. And he's talking about us drawing our attention to the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you notice this? He says, thou shalt both save thyself. That's the minister. That's the person that's ministering. And them that hear thee, that's the ministry. You see, there's a message, and then there's a messenger. God wants both of them to stay true. God wants us to stay true to the message. We can't change the message. But God also wants the messenger to stay true to the cause of Christ. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27, the Apostle Paul says what? He says, lest I myself should be what? A castaway. The word there is literally to be disapproved, to be set aside. Many times today we use the phrase that God has put somebody on the shelf. I think a more accurate statement a lot of times is, that person has put themselves on the shelf just because of their sin, just because of what they have done. There's a famous football stadium. Now, I don't really like the team that played there. It was called Texas Stadium. You maybe have heard of them, the Cowboys. I despise the Cowboys with a passion that can't be described, but that's not really the preaching, but I just wanted to throw that in. But anyway, they built a new stadium. So they tore the old stadium down. You maybe saw a picture of this, but think about this. This stadium stood for decades. It was brought down in 60 seconds. And the newspaper story said they'd be hauling the garbage away for 6 months. Sounds like some lives I know. Sounds like some churches. I just find it amazing how they can take a building like that, put the charges around it, push a little button in it, boom, it just comes down. But then you've got to start hauling the garbage away, don't you? Because they're going to put something new right there. But let's not think about a football stadium. That doesn't really matter a whole lot, but lives do. Ministries do. And God is talking about us standing for Him, being faithful to Him. I think in my mind's eye of two guys I went to Bible college with. One guy over here, he was Mr. Talent. He could do everything. He could sing. He could play instruments. I mean, just give him an instrument, he'd figure it out like the end of a week how to play. Just, you know, kind of obnoxious kind of guy. So much talent. Student body president kind of guy. Writing songs. Over on this side was a guy, we used to ask him if he got dressed in the dark all the time because it never matched, you know what I mean? But I got to know this guy a little bit, and he was a bus kid. He was the first kid in his family that got saved. And he went to the public school. He couldn't afford to go to the Christian school. He went to the public school. And while he was riding that bus, God got a hold of his heart to be a missionary to a Spanish-speaking world. He took, in the public school, he took 4 years of Spanish. When he got to Bible college, he knew Spanish better than the teacher did, and she'd been on the mission field for 20 years in a Spanish-speaking country. This guy, he just never looked right, you know what I mean? He'd come into everything late. But you know what? He had something inside of him that Mr. Talent on this side didn't have. I want to tell you about this guy over here. First guy saved in his family. Eventually, he got his dad to come to church. His dad is now in heaven, but his dad got saved. His dad became a deacon in the very church that picked his kid up on a bus and was the bus captain on that very route. Eventually, everyone in this guy's family got saved, all because he was the first one to come. When he was going to go to the mission field, he wanted to go to Uruguay, he went to a group of men, and they said to him, the same thing you and I would have said to him, you're not ready, no churches are going to support you. So he said, what do I do? And they said, you go back, get some more training, some more experience. He came back the next year. The next year, they thought the exact same thing. But they said this to him. They said, listen, if we turn you down, what are you going to do? He says, I'm going to do whatever you tell me to do, and I'm going to come back next year, and I'm going to come back the year after that, and the year after that. He says, God has called me to the mission field, and I'm getting there. This is what they said. They said, you're never going to raise your support. It's going to be impossible, but go ahead anyway. 9 months later, he's flying to Uruguay as a missionary. That's 30 years ago. He's a missionary in Mexico now. Started churches, trained preacher boys. I saw him just a little while ago. He still dresses like he got dressed in the dark. But you know what? He's got something inside of him. This guy over here married one of my wife's best friends. They were married for 3 years. He left her, hasn't lived with her, divorced her. She had to raise those kids by herself. Hey, you know something? Could it be God is trying to teach me something tonight? It's not about talent, is it? It's not about looks. It's about somebody who takes the warnings from God himself and says, Lord, I want to be used of you. Hey, I tell you what, down there in Mexico tonight, is this guy. Boy, he is good in Spanish. His hair is going all different directions. Can't comb his hair. I don't know what it is about it. Even in Mexico, I'm sure he doesn't match. I'm sure he just sticks out. But I tell you what, there's something inside of him that I like. Because there's somebody who said, you know what? I want to serve the Lord. I want to live for the Lord. And they took the warnings from God himself and applied them to our life. The verse is what? Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. God has a warning for us tonight, if we'll listen to it. Let's pray. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.